Glad each one of you are here as we look to God's Word together, as we seek to listen to God through His Word by the inspiration of the Spirit. We recognize we're so dependent upon God opening our ears up to hear it. We're completely dependent upon God being the initiator of our ability to hear, to respond, to have faith. So because of that, we need to pray. We need to pray. What we want to have happen now is not an intellectual thing, not even a social thing, although there's good social things going on, but we're looking for a supernatural thing to occur this morning. We're looking for a miracle to happen. We're looking for God, the sovereign, the loving Father, to communicate to His creation, to you and to me, to us. That's a miracle. And so, because it's a miracle, we need to ask God to do it. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we come together in Your name. And we invite You by the power of Your Spirit now to open us up so that Your Word gets in. We invite You, loving Heavenly Father, to speak, to make Yourself known, to reveal Your truth. We present ourselves before You in recognition of Your kingship and Your rule, in recognition that You are the creator of everything and the sustainer of everything and the one who wraps everything up in the end. You have the beginning and the present and the future all in Your hands. And so we come before You in recognition of our need. And we ask, Lord, for Your grace to be poured out upon each one. We ask for Your grace to minister to each need, to minister to each hurt, to minister to each area of lack, and through Your Word to bring us into alignment with Your perfection. And because of Your victory, we take authority now in Jesus Christ's name, and we silence the enemy and all of his tactics against us. We break those off, and we release freedom in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, once again, good morning and welcome to each of you. Glad you're here. I invite you to take your copy of the Scriptures and turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. As a congregation, we're working our way through the Gospel according to Matthew in a desire to understand God better and understand ourselves better and understand our response to God better. We're in need of God to speak to us. And what we find as we turn to Matthew chapter 13 is that there's a change in tactics occurring here. This section of Scripture has parables of the kingdom, a list of different parables of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 13 reads this way. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered around Him that He got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then He told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow a seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. It's interesting as you look at different teachings about the parables that there is such a variety of opinions, such a range of opinions. A common view is that Jesus started teaching in parables because it was a more effective communication strategy. A number of you are teachers and understand different teaching methodologies and how different kids learn in different ways. And so the idea is here that Jesus switched over to parables so that more people would catch what He was saying. And because of that, there's been a move within churches to do more with stories. There's many pastors, myself included, have been encouraged to use more stories. But as people use that or make that point, they're forgetting that there's a big difference between a parable and an illustration. An illustration is a little snippet, a story of some kind to give insight into the text that is being explained that day. Illustrations have great value, but a parable is something different. So those who write about how important it is to teach in parables like Jesus probably should have read what Jesus said was the reason he taught in parables. It might shock you if you haven't looked at it recently. The reason Jesus taught in parables. Chapter 13, verse 10. The disciples came to him, that's Jesus, and asked him, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" Here we go. Here it is. Verse 11. Jesus replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them." There you go. Right there. Jesus is drawing an accurate, huge distinction between one group of people and another group of people. I don't know just how formed your theology is or what influences have been at work in your theology's production or creation, but your theology needs to have these words of Jesus fitting into it. He says, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them." Then he goes on to explain, "Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, in your ears because they do hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." This is a challenging word from Jesus. It's saying that he started teaching in parables so that people would not understand, so that people would not be able to hear, so that people would not be able to see. It helps to understand where this is in the flow of Scripture. Last chapter, chapter 12, we spent a couple of weeks on it. It's full of the attacks against Jesus. It's Jesus doing wonderful things and his critics saying, "You're breaking our rules," or you're setting people free from demons because you're using the power of the prince of demons. They attributed the work of Jesus to Satan. Jesus was being attacked. And so Jesus started teaching in parables so that his attackers would not hear. In other words, parables are a form of judgment. That's harsh. That's reality. That's Jesus saying, "I know who are mine, and I'm going to teach them, but I also know those who are not mine. And so in my method of teaching, I'm going to do it in such a way as so that the blind do not see, the deaf do not hear, the hard-hearted do not have a change of heart." In other words, there was condemnation, there was judgment in this change of his teaching. Does your God love everybody? Mine does. Does your God invite everyone to come to him and be saved? Mine does. Does your God also know who people are? Who are those that are elected by Him to come into a saving relationship and those who never will respond? Mine does. It might sound harsh that God in flesh, Jesus Christ, would teach in such a way as so that those who don't hear won't hear. But that's what Jesus is saying here. He's just been criticized a whole chapter 12, and now he's teaching, but in such a way as only those who believe hear, those who don't believe do not hear. And he uses the illustration, the parable, first of all, of different kinds of soil. What a fitting text to read this week in this community where people are looking at their fields and evaluating the condition of their fields and saying, is it dry enough to get into? As Lisa and I and Jaden drove over in our 30-mile drive, we went from sandy soil that had been worked to rich, thick soil that's still waiting for more drying. There's different types of soil. Farmers maybe can understand this text better than any of us. After explaining to the disciples that the reason he used parables was so that the deaf would not hear and the blind would not see, he then went on to say to his own followers, you're blessed. Your eyes have been opened. Your ears have been unclogged. Your heart has been softened. And here's a promise from Jesus. After telling them that the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven had been given to them, he said this in verse 12, and whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. An abundance of what? An abundance of understanding the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. That's where there ought to be a huge wave and surge of gratitude that wells up within us. Somehow, even though I didn't deserve it, even though you didn't deserve it, God chose in His sovereignty to make you a person who could hear. And then He tells you, not only have you heard a little, but to those of you that have, you're going to have more. You're going to have an abundance of the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. So we say, Lord, pour out more. Pour out more into us of the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Pour it out. Pour it out. Give me more insight. Give me more understanding. At the end of this section, after telling them how blessed they are to understand, he then says, listen, let me tell you what it means. Verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. I've heard or read teachers use this text to tell people, become a better soil. I wonder how many farmers go out in their field and speak to their soil and say, become a better soil. Soil can't change itself. Soil doesn't cultivate itself. Soil doesn't make itself different in composition. Soil is what soil is. A farmer can take efforts to change things. A farmer can add things or reshape things or drain things, but soil can't change itself. Soil is what soil is. Four types of soil. Three kinds produce no crop in this illustration, in this parable. One kind did. Jesus used a parable to conceal his truth from those who were not believers. Apparently, Jesus was well aware that he was surrounded by critics. He was surrounded by unbelievers. He was surrounded by those who could not, would not receive. But he also recognized that those close to him, his disciples, were blessed by God, chosen by God, given the grace of God, so that they were receptive to Jesus' words of truth. And he told them that you'll receive even more. You'll receive an abundance of God's truth. And you'll produce a crop 160, 30 times. Those numbers for that yield were miraculous, especially to the hearers of that time. We've got some pretty productive crop yields in this time in modern agriculture. But in that era, having a crop with that type of response was unheard of. And Jesus is saying the good soil, the soil that's been graced by God, opened up by God, empowered by God, is not only going to receive, but receive an abundance. So my question to you is, what kind of soil are you? The question that might form in our heart is well, am I the right kind of soil? Am I the kind that's receiving? Am I open to God's word? Am I going to church to hear the word? Am I reading the word? Am I responding to the word? Is God at work in me? And so often people are more critical of themselves than God is, harsher on themselves than God is. I think what the proper response here is a response of gratitude. Thank you, God. I feel rocky sometimes. I feel like I'm a path that's been driven over too many times and the soil packed down. I feel like I'm a path, or I feel like I'm just choked out by weeds and thorns and other things and I'm not very productive. But instead, our response ought to be, God, thank you for giving faith to me, giving grace to me, enabling me to respond. This is not a work harder verse. This is a receive the miracle of God's grace verse. God made you a good soil. Celebrate the reality that God has enabled you to receive his word planted into you. I do want to take time for the next parable. It's similar but slightly different. It starts in verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, 'First cut the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" If you skip down a little further, you'll see that the disciples get Jesus to explain this one as well, picking it up at verse 36. "Then he," Jesus, "left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and asked, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' Jesus answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear. God, give us ears. That ought to be our prayer. God, give us ears to hear. I'm so glad that the disciples asked, Lord, help us to understand this. Explain it to us. We want to. We have a desire to. We have a hunger to. We want what you talked about earlier. We want that, not just having a little, but having an abundance of the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Give us more. And as they asked for more, and as they demonstrated that they were good soil, Jesus poured out more into them. A parable conceals the truth, is a form of judgment. But to those that are in the kingdom, it can create greater insight into God's kingdom, into God's truth. An enemy sowed seeds of weeds. The field is the world. God is planting people of faith into his world. People of righteousness, people of faith, people who have responded to God's truth, people who believe. But the enemy is sowing people of disbelief. Notice how both are allowed to grow up. The servant said, let us go and separate them now. And the master says, no, don't do that. Don't go out and try to destroy the weeds now, because if you do that, you might uproot some of the good wheat, some of the real wheat. Wait. It'll work out in the end. I will, in the end, separate. It's almost as if the master doesn't trust his servants to be very good at discerning weeds from wheat. We'll have to ask some of our farmers in our congregation, are there weeds that are difficult to make the discernment between? Some of these biblical scholars wrote all sorts of things about it, but they weren't farmers, so I don't trust them. They talked about false wheat that looked so similar in the early stages, and it was hard to discern if it was false wheat or real wheat until the final stages. Are we very good at discerning between real wheat and false wheat? Are we good at recognizing what's of God and what's of the devil? It's as if the master here doesn't trust the servants to make that distinction, and maybe we ought to be a little careful in trying to make that distinction ourselves. Maybe there's times we're too quick to say, oh, that's an obvious weed. Yank that thing out. But maybe Jesus knows better than us. Or maybe there's times we think, well, that's got to be a real wheat plant there. But wait and see. Does it really produce a head? Are there any kernels that really form on that? Is it authentic or not? Now, I think there's an invitation in this parable to let the master be the decider. Our job, sow seeds. Our job, foster growth. Our job, grow in trust and appreciation. And continue to ask God to give us ears that hear. We live in an interesting time when the church seems to be moving both right and left at the same time. There's whole swaths of what has been called Christianity that's moving further and further away from the biblical text, that's moving further and further away from the secrets of the kingdom of heaven that have been revealed. At the same time, there seems to be a hunger in many that are seeking deeper truths and deeper understanding and desiring to be more and more productive in their lives, that want that miraculous harvest of 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear, or he who has eyes, let him see. We want to be discerning. And what's made clear to us is that we are totally dependent upon revelation. We're totally dependent upon God choosing to make himself known. We're totally dependent on God speaking to us and giving our ears the ability to hear. In themselves, no man, no woman can hear God's truth. In themselves, no heart can be changed. In themselves, no soul can be softened. It's only the miracle of the Master creating a receptivity inside of a human that enables the word to get in, the seed to be planted, and a crop to be grown. We're dependent upon revelation. So I encourage you to be a person that says, God, thank you for making me receptive. Now make me even more receptive. Make me even more open to you. Make me even more aware of your truths. Reveal to me the secrets of the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven, so that I walk in it more fully, I experience it more deeply, I share it more widely. We don't know. We're not good harvesters at seeing who's false and who's real wheat. So we sow the seed that God has given us to others around us. And we sow it in its depths, in its intensities, in the real passions. We don't just deal with the surface issues. And we call people to a response of faith in Christ. We pray for the miracle. There's a wide debate between, is it people's choice? Is it God's election? Who decides who gets to go to heaven? Us or God? There's lots of scriptures that can challenge your position no matter which side of that you land. Here's the truth. God's in charge. And God's inviting us to be involved in His kingdom, to hear it, to pray for ears that'll hear, and to be spreaders of the seed of God's truth. Let's pray. God, we are amazed that you would choose anybody. We're amazed that you would make anybody a good soil. None of us deserve your grace. We have all sinned and fallen so far short of your righteous standards. We have all been calloused in one way or another. We have all been hardened in one way or another. We've all responded to the cares and concerns of the world or the things that grow up and choke out real faith. We've all been impacted by that, God. We can see ourselves in those bad soils, but Lord, we desire to be a soil that's soft. We know we can't till ourselves up, but Lord, would you till our hearts? Would you soften us? Would you make us receptive? Would you mix us up and contour us in such a way that we are able to be receptive to the seeds of your truth? Pour your grace upon us. Pour your grace upon each one. Pour your grace upon our family members. Pour your grace upon the people in our community. Lord, we see people in each of our families, in each of our circles of acquaintances, and we say, oh Lord, they look so hard. And we worry about them. We think, oh, they'll never respond in faith, and they won't unless, God, you do a miracle. So we ask for that miracle, God. We pray for the lost around us. We ask that you'd open their ears, that you'd make them aware, you'd cause faith to grow, you'd give the miracle of faith to them. And Lord, we ask for ourselves that you create within us a hunger for an ever-increasing, greater awareness and understanding. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.